Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Forms and Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Aloha! Aloha! Mahalo, everyone, and welcome to the AMAA Masters in Radio Network. My name is Professor Gary Lee, and this is Parts Unknown. We've been in your home for 3 years. 3 years! We've come in your home on a Tuesday night and talk about sport karate, old days, new days, present days, interviewing some of the most interesting people we have in the martial arts in America. And tonight we have a jam-packed show for you. It's a beautiful, beautiful Tuesday night here in Texas. The weather's finally subsided, and we've got some beautiful weather for a change, no coldness, and I hope you're safe and happy wherever you're at. I have a very special opening tonight. Normally I just go into a lot of details and stuff, but I've got a really special event coming up next week, and I brought in one of the producers. It's a partnership with Chelsea Clark, a good friend of mine, a great kata competitor from Texas, but also she's hooked up with the founder of Team Revolution, Connell Lovelace, and I'm going to talk to him for a few minutes right now and talk about his event that we're supporting next week with being there Friday and Saturday during their seminars and their actual tournament. The museum will have a booth and showing our incredible stuff that we have. So, Connell Lovelace, are you there on the line?
Hi, yes, I am. How you doing, Professor Lee?
I am doing so fast. Are you ready to come down to Texas from Michigan, all that cold weather?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? You got to love Michigan. A few days ago, it's the temperature is. I'm sorry?
I didn't hear anything. Did someone say something?
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I did.
We got poster guys on the line, Connell. Our show, we got all kinds of voices that come in from everywhere. But go right ahead.
Oh, there you go.
Talking about how cold it was.
Oh, no. 15 below zero on a Thursday,
wow.
And then on Saturday it's 50 degrees. So that's Michigan weather.
Well, you've got an incredible event coming up next week that we're going to be a part of, and it's Friday, actually the day after
the 15th.
Valentine's Day, right? The 15th and the 16th.
Yes, sir.
And tell me a little bit about
it.
Where is it at? And what's going on? It's a regional qualifying event, too, I believe, right?
Yes, absolutely. Great lead in there, Professor Lee. Yes, this event is a qualifier for the WKC. And what's really great, it's a super regional. That means that the top eight competitors on Saturday that qualify make it to go to the Nationals. Now, the Nationals will be in Detroit, Michigan. And I believe it's June 8th. And then the actual world championships this year is on our home soil. It'll be in Niagara Falls. So it's
now,
it's
talking about the group that Mr. Richard Plowden kind of heads up and brings his fighters into, right? The WKC, that group?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But it's just,
that's an amazing,
you know what?
Group of fighters.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. The fact that they had this tremendous opportunity to bring this to life. It's been in so many different countries on so many different soils. And then to have it come back here to the United States this year is very special. So I'm very excited.
I'm excited for a couple of reasons. One, because, you know, my son is very close to Mr. Willie Hicks, and we're all close to Willie Hicks.
Nice.
But, you know, they went to Ireland a few years back, and also my partner, Darlene McPherson-Pagels, who helps me run Kata Wars and the Living Legends, she went to Ireland, and they experienced the WKC, and they just came back. We're just overwhelmed with how professional it was. And the vision of Mr. Plowden is amazing. Now, we're going to have a little taste of that next weekend, and you're going to offer black belt divisions where they can actually qualify to be able to go to the Nationals, correct?
Correct. But let me state this, what's really unique about this. The divisions that we're offering that are WKC, you don't necessarily have to be a black belt. You could be a brown belt, green belt. If you're good enough to qualify and have that opportunity, you know what? I definitely say take it. So I've got actually we got a few underbelts that have qualified. And actually, let me give you this. One of my students, Kaylin, was a brown belt at the time that she qualified. So that was that's truly amazing to have that type of talent to be able to represent your country is just tremendous. It's just tremendous.
Cool. Now, where's it going to be at, and what time does it start, and what's the admission to come in if you're a spectator and you just want to see some of this incredible action?
Great. Well, let's start with Friday, which is, we just called it the journey. It's four great seminars. It's February 15th at Meyerland Middle School, and there are two sessions. So it's really great is you'll have an opportunity to take two seminars. So the first seminar is from 6 to 7, and the second seminar is from 7 to 8. And the cost of two seminars, the cost for the two sessions is only $30 once you register as a competitor. So how many opportunities you get to go to a seminar, two great seminars for $30? And then Saturday,
really great.
Yes, sir. And then Saturday, February 16th, again, it's at Meyerland Middle School. It's the registration starts at 7:30. Tournament starts at 9 a.m. And it just depends on if you've early registered or not. If you early registered, it's $45 for your first division and $5 after that. Try to keep the cost down. And then you've got the next, if you register afterward, it's $50 at the door, and it's $10 per division. And I've gone to so many different tournaments, Professor Lee, where your first division is $80, and every division after that is like $30 or $40. So we made sure this was affordable.
Are you kidding me? I remember when it was $15 a division. Okay, so we're talking about old school. Hey, tell me a little bit about a phone number where they can call if they want more information or a website.
Well, we are at, if you want to go to Facebook, we're Southwest Karate Open. There's nobody else that has that name. And then let me tell you this, because we are about customer service. If anyone has any questions at all, they can message us on Facebook. If not, they can call me personally. I have no problem. I just believe in customer service. My number is 248-259-1346. And we also left on there opportunity for email, I believe. So any questions at all, very happy to answer.
Well, I appreciate you being on the show tonight and expressing the interest in that, because I'm interested, of course. I'm going to be telling people about it for the rest of the week. And also, thank you for allowing the Sport Karate Museum to be there and display. And I'm looking forward to seeing you for old time's sake. You know?
Yep. And thank you. And let me just say this. The fact that you presented us with this opportunity, I just want to say one last thing. Hey, guys, when you have an opportunity, anyone that's listening, if you have an opportunity to speak to someone with the knowledge and background that Professor Lee has, ask questions, right? Learn about our history. He's got so much knowledge. The few times I talk to him, he blows my mind with some of the things that he knows and some of the people that he knows. So I'm saying, when you guys come, don't think of it as just a martial art tournament. Think of it as an event, as an opportunity. Ask questions. And I tell you, this person right here will be there and give you as much knowledge as he has. So I say thank you for supporting us.
That is really sweet of you, Kanell. Thank you so much for those kind words. That's the nicest thing anybody said to me in at least in a month or two. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you next week.
Oh,
so,
absolutely.
God bless you, buddy, and make sure you tell Chelsea
all right, thank you.
Hello, okay?
Oh, definitely will.
Hey, everybody. That was Mr. Kanell Loveless calling me from Michigan. He's coming down to Texas next week to experience the Texas beautiful weather and the hospitality, but also hosting the WKC Regionals. And as you said, it's going to be a regional qualifying tournament. And what's interesting is you don't have to be a black belt to qualify for the national tournaments with the WKC. So interesting stuff that's going on in the sport karate that we call. Hey, I've got my special guest, and I'm going to go right into him. He's been my friend for, oh, man, I want to say 1981. That's a long time. I knew him when he was young. I knew him when he was when he was a beginner. He was orange belt, yellow belt, and I watched him grow up through the ranks of karate in the USK and become a very dangerous fighter. Fast, quick, incredible kicks. But then, you know, he saw this seeing a vision, and he did something really amazing. He created a beautiful school. I'm not talking about just a school, but a beautiful school, huge school in the middle of Deer Park, Texas, and created a program of kickboxing, karate, hapkido, jiu-jitsu. But most importantly, he goes and he helps directly with the local police forces and the EMTs and works with their personnel personally, teaching them self-defense and tactics, how to protect themselves in and off the street. I can really brag about him a little bit because actually one of my black belts who actually works for the Webster Police Force, who's a homicide detective, I actually gave him to Mr. Yeager, and Mr. Yeager's been training him for many, many years. And a lot of the reason because Mr. Brasher is as proficient as he is in martial arts is because of Mr. Yeager. So I'm very excited about having Chris Yeager on the show tonight. So without further ado, I'd like to bring you on. Mr. Yeager, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Good. Right off the bat, you know, I've been calling you Mr. Yeager only in formal situations, but this is my show, so I'm going to call you Chris because I love you with all my heart, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Nice to be on the show.
Well, you're a busy workaholic. When I invented that word workaholic around what I do, I thought of you because I don't think you have a slow part of your body. You are a 24/7 type guy that runs all the time. It's pretty amazing. I want to talk a little bit about your early history and who you were with in the beginning stages of those early days in Deer Park, and we're going to work our way up. So who was your first instructor, and who did you make actually black belt under in those early days?
I was under Sensei Rodney Tooley with the USK organization, and we were all under Grandmaster Robert Trias.
Us. The father and the founder of the USKA, absolutely.
Yes, sir.
We've talked about that organization many, many times on the show. And that really gives you a credibility because I remember back in that day, if you remember, which I know you do, if you are a USK member, especially if you are a student, worked your way up like you did, up to black, everyone knew that you were a real karate do. That's the neat thing about it, you know. I remember that specifically about being a USK member myself, that no, you may not have been the best fighter or the best kata or the best weapons, but what you did was real, and the authenticity was there. Now, you made black belt. Something changed. You started getting involved with different styles, like Mr. Pellegrini, and got involved with hapkido and other things, and I know that through the years you were close to Bill Wallace and other friends of mine and other people at the museum. But how did you get involved with that change? After you made black belt, what exactly happened with you? And that was before the school. What rank were you when you got to school, when you opened that big school?
When I opened the school, I was a first don.
Okay, cool. Let's talk about getting up to that position. How do you see that vision? And by the way, tell people how big your school is so they understand what I was bragging about.
It's 6,000 square feet, and we have
really, I know. Cool.
And we have custom matted floor of about 5,400 square feet.
You got a full size boxing ring in the middle too, don't you?
Yes, we have a boxing ring for the Thai kickboxing program as well, and we are actually expanding to the second story of the school now.
So you're going to build a second
exciting.
Story?
You're
building a second story? Really? Wow.
Yes.
Well, let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to the vision of what you had before you opened that school and bought that land and built that building from scratch. Let's talk about a little bit what your vision was so people who are listening can understand that anybody can create a dream and produce it in America. And you're a perfect example of pursuing a dream. So share with my listeners a little bit.
Well, you know, before I opened the school and everything, I had trained with a few different instructors. After Sensei Rodney Cooley, I went with one of his black belts, which was Sensei John Gordon, who was a state representative for the USK. And then
broke his nose. Broke his nose, bro.
And so, yeah, I think y'all fought quite a few times.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was a lot of history there. And I started doing a lot of cross-training in different styles and getting, you know, rank and everything. And I started off teaching at the Deer Park Community Center, and, you know, I just had a vision of what I wanted to do and what I wanted to create, but I wasn't real sure how to do it. So I quit my job, sold everything I had, and, you know, opened a school, and, you know, we just grew from there. And it was it's been a journey, I can tell you that. This June will be 30 years in business, full time. So it's been an experience. Actually, I remember having you in for a seminar and teaching at my school when I first opened, my very first school.
I am so proud of you, Chris Yeager. I'm so proud of what you've accomplished and what you've become to the community. And how you survived through the growth of other karate studios around you. I remember one time that Deer Park literally had 10 or more karate schools around that area within a 10-mile radius. It was crazy, you know? And you survived all that, too. So, now, tell me, let's throw in a little history here. You had a relationship with Bill because he was a motorcycle drive. Didn't you like motorcycles too?
Yes, he does.
Now, that's how you guys hooked up, or how did you guys?
No. I hooked up. Bill Gray had put on an event at San Jack College. I was about 15 years old, and this was the first introduction to me to him. I've read about him and stuff before, but my dad took me out to San Jack College, and we watched him do kickboxing exhibitions and stuff. And I met him that night, and yeah, I said, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to, you know, I want to kick like this guy. And, you know, so I started going to his seminars, and, you know, everything just went from there. And I followed him around from years, you know, for years. And then I started going to Joe Lewis's seminars. And then as the years went by, you know, many years later, you know, I hooked up with Grandmaster John Pellegrini, and Bill Wallace was doing double impact seminars with Pellegrini. So everything just kind of intertwined, and then, you know, he invited me out to Daytona to his house for a couple of weeks for bike week, and, you know, we just hit it off, and every time we're together, we have an awesome time. Great guy. Just
now, you know, the neat thing about what you just shared with me is a good example of what I talk about on this show, about where does American martial arts come from. You know, in the beginning days, and we've talked about this, you and I, because we've had some really good discussions. It was Japanese, it was Okinawan, it was Korean, it was Chinese. And if you mention American karate or American martial arts, most people just kind of snicker and they'd be in a different world. But American karate has simply taken the best of what you feel is good for you and it works for you, and applying it and making it work for your students. And what you just explained to me about training with Mr. Pellegrini, Mr. Wallace, Mr. Lewis, Mr. Trias, and Mr. Gordon, all the your first instructor, and it shows me exactly what I think of you, Chris Yeager. You're a perfect example of the American master of martial arts who really takes the best and applies it to make it work for yourself and your students. And that's what I want to lead into next. You've done something that really is amazing to me. You've gone into the police community of martial arts, the people who, you know, you assume they all know martial arts, but you really put them under a microscope and let them work with pure techniques that only protects them, but it helps them with everyday lives. And you've also worked with the EMTs. Tell me how you got involved with the local police force, especially the ones that you did in the early years and what you're working with now.
Well, there was a lieutenant here in Deer Park, and he was looking for someone, and he came by my school one day, and he told me, you know, that he had been to a lot of schools, and he was looking for someone, you know, that was really involved in the self-defense aspect, but, you know, had good striking skills too and everything. And he watched a few classes, and then he approached me and, you know, made me an offer, you know, to come in. And so we started out with the Pasadena Police Department, and for 18 or 20 years, you know, we did, you know, all the in-service schools from, you know, defensive tactics to mechanics of arrest to SWAT team training to our narcotics division. I mean, you name it. And we just started creating programs and designing them that was all TCLOS certified programs at that time. And it just, you know, they was running so many schools through the academy, and people was coming all over from the States. We had people come from all the way from Bosnia over here to us. And we was just started training people from everywhere. So it just blew up. And, you know, now I'm involved with fire departments and the medics and EMTs. And, you know, so it's just blossomed out into other, you know, areas and stuff.
Well, Chris, what's the level of thinking as a master instructor, as you are, to work with someone as a first responder to know that life and death is on the line? I mean, you really, I know that martial arts, people just assume that martial arts can handle anything, but you have to take it to a different level, especially when you work with police officers and EMTs. I'm just curious, as someone who's asking a question to a master instructor, how do you get to that level of teaching? And what do you teach them exactly? To be aware, to be smarter? I mean, what do you do? How do you do it?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, the thing for me when I got involved is, you know, I thought that, you know, the more well-trained they would be, not just the safer they would be, but the better it would be for the community overall. And, you know, building relationships with, you know, the community. And so we wanted to create programs that, you know, that would protect them from liability, you know, as well as, you know, from physical aspect as well. So, you know, creating the programs, you know, there was a lot that went into it. So, you know, we went as far as, you know, training people for 2 and 3 officers to restrain someone at the same time versus just one, even though they had the ability to do it. It was just safer for the suspect as well as, you know, the officers. And so, you know, it was very technical training. You know, so we taught less techniques and spent more time on a lot of repetition so they could develop the, you know, the techniques very quickly. And, you know, we try to keep everything very, very simple, very tight, small movements, you know, more close quarters type stuff.
Right. Right. Keep it simple, stupid, as we learned a long time ago.
Right.
Always a kiss technique. Always a kiss technique, little brother. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know. Take all the flash out and everything and be direct and to the point about, you know, what you're trying to achieve. And
well, I've got to brag a little bit about someone that we share, and I bragged about him a little bit earlier, and, you know, I can't say enough about him. He came to me from a guy named Daniel Baker, and, you know, I worked with him at his brown belt level and actually tested his black belt in one of the largest black belt tests in the country. I set up like 6 different black belt tables, testing 6 different black belts at the same time, and he was one of them. And when he made black belt, and I'm talking about Mr. Alan Brasher, when he made black belt, he did it in front of one of the first living legends that I did way before it became well known. And then he was working at the time in the restaurant business, but he always talked about other things, you know, other dreams. And it didn't surprise me when he wanted to become a police officer. I literally watched him grow from being a restaurant manager to now he works for the Webster Police Department as a homicide detective. But a lot of that, for the past few years, many years, he owes his martial arts training to you. And I want to say publicly, thank you, Chris, because every day that he's out there, you've helped save his life, I'm sure. So, you know, that is very personal, and that kind of shows the type of person I believe that I know that you are, and that people who have an opportunity in law enforcement in the area of Deer Park, Texas, or Pasadena, or even outside South Houston, you ought to look up Mr. Chris Yeager. And exactly what is your location and your webpage and a phone number they can reach you at?
I'm at 306 East Pasadena Boulevard, Deer Park, Texas. Zip code 77536. The phone number is 281-479-3880. And our Facebook is Grandmaster Chris Yeager, Self Defense America. And anyone has any questions, they can go on there and, you know, ask questions, and I'll get right back to you. And if anybody's ever out in this area and needs a place to train or work out while you're in the Houston area, you know, please give us a call and come out and work out with us and, you know, visit. We'd love to, you know, meet new people we don't know and that's coming in and out of the, you know, Houston area. And
that's really cool. Let me plug you a little bit. That is what you call pure Texas hospitality. And I know that because I've known you, like I said, for many years. When we talk about Deer Park, I got to throw about the, and it's hard for me to remember. You remember these guys, the guys that were fighting out on Strawberry, Gary, those Chenille, golly bum.
Yes.
Who are those? Gary.
Yes.
Gary Carrico. Who are some of those guys?
Gary Chalette.
I know. Gary Chalette. There you go.
Yeah.
Those guys. Yeah. Did you ever work out that full? They were fighting full contact back then.
I used to fight over there kickboxing on Friday night.
Yeah. Yeah. Those guys were serious.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
When people thought they were serious.
Yeah. Yeah, tell me the story. I like it.
This is a great story. So Superfoot Bill Wallace comes in over there to visit, and him and Gary Chalette, you know, he was real tall and slender guy, and Gary had a great, great hook kick until he met Wallace and experienced his. But it was great. Man, it was some good sparring matches over there. They had a lot of people come through and everything. But, that was Jerry Neal that owned the place at Neal's Martial Arts.
That's right. That was his name. He Jerry Neal. Well, what a great guy. Sweet guy. And he was part of the first year of my legends. I was, you know, talked to him a lot and always communicated with him. He was very friendly with me. He liked my attitude. He always thought that I was an animal. Yeah, yeah. That one, I got to ask you, because I can't remember. You told me years and years and years ago. Do you remember the first time that you saw me fight? Or you remember you saw me?
Oh, I remember. I remember what uniform you had on, everything.
Yeah. Well, you share with my listeners or, you know, some people that are listening.
So the first time I saw you fight was at a Bill Gray tournament, and a guy named Greg Beaver, which is up in Austin now.
He used to throw the NASCAR tournaments. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. And you had a black uniform on, and on the back it just said Lee, L-E-E.
Right.
I was like, who is this guy? It didn't take long to figure out who you were.
It was fun times back then.
It was a lot different, you know, point tournaments, you know, kickbox, everything was different back then, you know, than it is now. And,
you mentioned Bill Gray. I got to say this fast story before we take my break, and you'll really like this story. Back in the day when Mr. Al Garza was training for his first full contact fight, he would drive from Dickerson all the way through Houston to come to my school, which is on the, you know, over in the near Gessner, you know, and it was a long drive. And so I finally said, look, you're going to get ready for this fight. You need to fight a real fight where nobody's going to just label you. So I set up a meeting with him and a guy named Don Mullins, who is Skipper Mullins' little brother, and Scott McRae, who's passed away now. And I set up a meeting at Kim Sue's school. You've heard of Kim Sue, right?
Yes.
He had
yes.
a school on Longpoint. And so I took Mr. Garza and Mr. Mullins over there, and they didn't know, Kim Sue didn't know I was with Flatville Academy and Mr. Minshew, you know? And that was when I wasn't really with George. I was on my own, but George hasn't adopted me yet. Does he make, that make sense? So I'm sitting
yes.
over there, and I'm negotiating with Mr. Kim Sue, and I say, well, Taekwondo is so powerful and so direct, and the only way for this young man, I'm talking about Mr. Garza, I said, the only this young man to really prove himself is a fight in a real karate tournament, and I know your tournament's closed, but would you please honor us to allow us to come in and compete against the Korean competitors? And he allowed us that day. And everybody was disqualified except for Al, okay? And then I found out that Bill Gray, you mentioned Bill Gray, at the same day, at the Fonde Recreation Center was having a tournament. So I talked into Al and McGray and all those guys to go over there. And because Mr. Gray didn't really like Mr. Minshew in Black Belt Academy, I wasn't going to use our names. So we all used fake names. This is a true story. Yeah, and we entered the tournament under false names in false karate school. And Larry Ritchie got his nose broken, okay? And Al, I think, won his first fight. I got disqualified. And that was the first time ever I think anybody ever went to two tournaments in one day. I think Mr. Mullins back in the 60s went to three tournaments on a weekend. But I don't think anybody's gone to two tournaments in one day like that. And it was all because I wanted Al to get ready to fight his first full contact fight, you know. That was crazy, wasn't it? That's a crazy.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
You
made me think about an old story like that. I can't believe
it. Oh, you're fixing to remember a quick story. Hey,
okay.
Remember John Gordon hosted the kickboxing matches here in Deer Park. You was a referee.
Yeah.
And Al Garza fought Benoit Holloway out of Louisiana.
Right.
You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yes. Well, I was one of the kick counters for those fights. I wasn't fighting in them, but I was a kick counter.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So,
you know,
we
talk about John Gordon, and
I say
out of deepest respect, when I say I broke his nose, I out of deepest respect, John, if you're listening or anybody that loves John, I say that out of respect because John and I, we did have some good wars, and my nose could have got broken instead of his. We fought so hard back then that people thought that we really didn't like each other. But, you know, the neat thing about it is John and I always hugged each other. We always shook hands before and after the fight. And we were hanging around guys like you and Jerry and Shalott and those guys because of John Gordon. So God bless. I hope John's doing well. Have you talked to him at all?
Oh, I haven't heard from him in years.
Oh, gee. Well, listen, Chris, I'm going to take a short break. I'm going to do some commercials and stuff, and I'm going to come back, and we're going to play the Legends Name Game, okay? So stay on the air, okay buddy?
Okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you so much. Hey, everybody, I'm with Chris Yeager, and Chris Yeager is the owner of the Deer Park America's Self-Defense, an amazing studio, and if you've been on the show and listening, he offers so much, not only to the general public, but to police officers and EMTs, and great, great, great example of growing up in Texas karate. You know, the base of our show has always been the Who's Who in the Martial Arts book, the vision of Jan Wallendorf and Dale Brooks, who created a young man named Hachi Jesse Bowen. Hachi Jesse Bowen, as you know, is my producer and also the person who has really put this book on the map the past few years. And the Who's Who in the Martial Arts has turned into different levels. It has the Legends and the Masters Edition. And, of course, just recently he did the Who's Who Directory, working with Alan Goldberg. For more information on that book and to be involved with that book, you can go to who'swhointhemartialarts.com or who'swhointhemartialarts/directory.com. And that builds up also for this year at the Bellagio in Las Vegas. And we're talking about in June the 29th, right before the Super Show, the Legends Banquet, the Who's Who in the Martial Arts book signing, the one banquet that people really are talking about that started in Washington, D.C., or North Carolina, I'm sorry, in Washington, D.C., and now it's moved to Las Vegas, will be put together for information that called directly to Hunter Jesse Bowen, and you contact him on Facebook. They'll be honoring the honoree of the night, Jiu-Jitsu Master, Mr. Stephen Hayes, and Shihan Dana Abbott, the true samurai spirit of samurai sports, and myself. We will be the guest speakers and talking about our new movie adventure, Memoirs of American Samurai. So we're excited about this event on June the 29th and at the Bellagio. And for more information, please contact Hunter Jesse Bowen. Now, don't forget, the Super Show will be following Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the 1st, 2nd, and the 3rd. And it's Bellagio also. This is the Century Martial Arts Super Show. The Sport Karate Museum Archives booth will be there with a special guest, Mr. Jim Buten, who's always there every year with us. This year I also have Mr. Jason Brooks, bodyguard, tactical enforcer, and seminar expert. Mr. Paul Pawala, who is also an editor and writer for Warrior Magazine. And Mr. Mark Johansson from Tactical Spartan Gear. So a special guest at the Sport Karate Museum Archives booth this year, and a big shout out to Century. We thank you so much. You know, one of the segments that we do every week, and I look forward to it, is bringing on my student and my dear friend, Mr. Dean Piles, better known as the Wolverine. Wolverine, are you there, sir? Oh, I guess Wolverine didn't call in tonight. Well, I wanted to talk about a subject tonight, and that subject is called loyalty. Loyalty. Loyalty in the martial arts, loyalty in the dojo. What is loyalty? Well, you walk into a dojo, and you don't know what you're doing. You just walk in, and there's a man there or a lady, and they decide they want to teach you martial arts. Okay. I just got a message from Mr. Pyle, so we're going to try to work this out here. And so that person decides he wants to teach you or she wants to teach you martial arts. Well, you know, it starts a story, a beginning story of life-changing, because it's not just learning self-defense. It's not just learning martial arts. You learn things like saying yes, sir, and no, sir, and may I, yes, ma'am, and things maybe you haven't learned yet, and how important it is. And then you learn about life changes, because most people who do martial arts, they stay with it. So that journey starts and ends normally with a black belt. Normally it takes between 3 to 5 years for a black belt, you know, and that is the estimate, 3 to 5 years. Now, 5 years of being with the same person or persons who is teaching you daily skills in martial arts, it's a part of your life. So now you're in a position where you're teaching, and you're teaching, and you see that your instructor's always made money because that's what he does for a living, and you decide now that you want to make a living at it. But maybe you don't do it the right way. Maybe you get in a dispute and you part ways. And you part ways where you open a school right down the street or within a distance of the students who are training with you, and your instructor now has a choice to make, to stay where they're at and keep their loyalty, or now go to you because you're right down the street. That is one form of loyalty that the Wolverine and I was going to talk about tonight. I don't know if he's still trying to get on the air. I think that's important. I think it's important that when you make that decision to break away, that if you do decide to teach somewhere else, don't do it within the frame of where the students that were training there would be affected by it. Start fresh. And with the blessing of your sensei, you know, I know that's old school. I know it's hard to understand that loyalty, but it really starts out with all the things that advertise and fantasy-wise in the movies, and then add steroids to that. That's how much loyalty you should have toward your sensei. I do. I understand. I remember my first sensei as if it was yesterday. And I knew what I had to do to show my loyalty to him. I'm sorry I didn't get to get Dean on the show tonight. I'm sure he's trying to get in. I don't know if Auntie Bowen has not put him on the air, but we miss you, Wolverine, and we'll discuss this on our next show. I want to say something about someone in very personal life, and his name is Joe Harago. He does round one boxing. This is inaugurating into its fourth annual scholarship fundraiser this year. The champion scholarship program ranges from $500 to $1,000 per student for the entire academic school year and will be awarded to the students based on financial need. The champion scholarship program is a salute to the success we have in working with the local youth in redirecting them away from poor choices and risky behavior that result in a negative, circumstances. You know, Round One Boxing is a community outreach program that teaches more than just boxing skills. The program has several goals. Serve students within the Fort Worth area who are at a high risk of dropping out of school. Foster discipline and accountability through the art of boxing and the martial arts. And most importantly, Round One Boxing redirects these challenged youth from gangs and youth violence with the ultimate goal of keeping them from dropping out of school. You know, Round One Boxing is a IRS-certified nonprofit tax-exempt 501c organization, and all donations are tax-deductible. For more contact information, please call 817-917-9790. I do that because Joe is a great guy, and he's better known for being on my show, I think last year, where he gave away thousands, I'm not talking about hundreds, thousands of turkeys at Thanksgiving to needed families. So he's one of the good guys, and that's why we want to plug his organization. I'm really sorry I missed Dean tonight. Tally bum. And I don't think it was his fault. I think it was just part of the technical. So, hello? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to be bringing on Chris Yeager back on, but before I do, I want to share with you that tonight we've put together two ladies, Robin Shockley and Marty McDonald. Goodness gracious, they have something in common. They are South Carolinian and North Carolinian, and two incredible ladies. And they're going to be heading up the Professional Maximizer Awards this year, holding September 27th and 28th. And this will be in Houston, Texas. And for more information, be looking on Facebook at the Professional Maximizer page or contact Robin Shockley on Facebook or Marty McDonald on Facebook. And more information will follow. The Professional Maximizer Awards will be choosing 25 women across America to honor them for their contribution to what they're doing and really making a very special difference in people's lives for the Professional Maximizer. So we'll be looking forward to that. Someone's trying to interrupt. Is that Dean's voice? Goodness gracious, I guess not. Well, I'm going to bring back Mr. Yeager. Mr. Yeager, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir.
Well, good. Let's go ahead and go play the Legends Name Game and explain that to my viewers. It's a really simple procedure where I say a name and you got 2 minutes to talk about that person and tell me how you feel about that person or how it influenced your life or, like a fight. 2 minutes, and we'll go up to the next person. And then we'll ask, I got a couple more questions to ask you, and we'll be done. You'll get to sit back and watch television tonight. Are you ready to play the man, Legends name game?
I'm ready.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm going to hit you with the first one, and we're going to talk about gentleman we talked about earlier, Mr. Pellegrini. Tell me about a little about his history and what he offered and what he did for you.
Wow. Pellegrini, he created a electric art of a Hapkido without the high-altitude throws, without the forms. It was just a pure street self-defense system, very, very technical. He's just a very high-energy, motivated guy, kind of like myself, and I think that's why we hit it off so well. And an amazing things that he brought to the table over the years. And I think one reason everything has been so successful with his organization is because of the people that he's brought in as well. I trained with Julius Melagrito from the Philippines and Filipino instructor and the stick and knife. And just amazing. Carlson Gracie Jr., all these people did double impact seminars with Pellegrini, and it just brought so much light to the table that other people wasn't doing at the time. And it was just a really awesome experience, and I spent about 20, 21 years with him under his tutelage.
Oh, wow.
And everything.
I didn't realize that was a long time.
Yes, a long time with him. And, I'm not currently with the organization right now, but, a great instructor. He's just very, very technical about his teachings and everything, and a real perfectionist when it comes to self-defense. So it's, it taught me a lot to be the same way in my teachings in my school to get a lot more out of my students.
Well, let me ask you, your first impression of this gentleman who we lost in 1987, I believe, or 1988, Robert Trias, the father of USKA and the first really United States American Karate Association.
Oh, boy, you're going way back now. Very, very traditional, just rock solid roots of training. A lot of history taught from him, in the martial arts, and just old school karate.
Let me ask you a question. Were you at the 1985 Nationals in Houston? Did you go to that?
I was. That was right across the street. It was at the Astro Hotel. Matter of fact, I competed there.
Yeah. So I was doing weapons, and I don't know who this guy was. He was some jerk, and I can say that. But he presented his commas in a different way than it wasn't. That Robert Bowles didn't like it, and Robert Trias walked over to him, and they talked, whispered, as he did, and Mr. Bowles asked him to repeat himself, and the guy smarted off to him, and Bowles disqualified him on the spot. I think the power back then of Mr. Trias was incredible those incredible black belts. I remember to this day those 12 chairs at every USK national tournament. And that was the Trias International Society that would set up on those chairs. Powerful, powerful man. I'm going to have at the event this year. You ever heard of Daniel Gossett? You know who he is?
I've heard the name. I don't know him personally.
He's an old USK guy. He was under Robert Bowles. I have the original USK Pinnacle, the book. It'll be at the event this year. So, and that was the original book, the Pinnacle that he wrote. So it's really incredible. We saw it at the event in Oklahoma, and Mr. Kerbin and myself, and we were just drooling at the pictures and the statements that were made in this book. It's pretty incredible. So let me hit you with another person. And I haven't talked about her in years. And I don't know how well you knew her, but she was part of your area. But she was one of the most dynamic sword women and ahead of her time. And she was a USK person. I'm talking about Maria Dose. Remember Maria Dose?
Oh, yes. I trained with Maria every Tuesday night at the YMCA over off the Gulf Freeway. I trained with her.
Well, you tell
years.
Me a story, and I'm going to tell you a story. You tell me a story first, because I got a good one about Maria.
We would, yes, Maria was, she was good with the sword, but she was just as good as a fighter. She,
Yes.
She was a very, very strong fighter. I mean, yes, she,
She would come to my fight club. There was only two women that would show up at my fight club back in the late 70s, and that was Linda Denley and Maria Dust. And my favorite story is we put numbers in a hat, and you had to draw numbers of who you had to draw. And, you know, people didn't like fighting a woman or a girl, as they put it. But Maria, like Linda, didn't fight like a woman. Very, very proficient in their technique. And this guy just kind of smarted off, and he got a really butt-whooping that night for Maria Dose. I mean, it was the second time. The first time I saw a woman beat up a man was Linda Denley at that same fight club that I created. But I saw Maria whoop up on this guy, and he deserved it because he was one of those typical arrogant, ignorant, stupid black belts who'd never learned what respect was. And didn't matter if you were a woman or a man, if you faced a black belt, you show respect. And he learned a hard way from Maria Dose that night. So I'm glad we got to talk about her. And when was the last time you heard from her or heard about her?
Oh, it's been a long time, you know, since she was, you know, had her injury and everything as a stunt woman out there, and a lot of health problems and stuff. But,
I didn't know that she was doing stunt work. She did stunt work in movies?
Yes, that's what she was doing, and it was a fire scene. And apparently, from what I understand, she inhaled some of the stuff that they was putting the fire out with when she was in the fire suit, and it destroyed her lungs pretty much.
Wow. Wow, that's sad.
So,
you know, I remember her fighting at Fonde. Let's talk about Fonde. Do you remember Fonde? At times?
Oh, yes, Fonde Recreation Center, yes.
If you had a tournament in Houston, it was at Fonde Recreation Center. And I remember that women didn't really want to fight Maria, you know?
Oh, she was
there
tough.
Would be discussions between, yeah. And then back then, there was only a few of us who did real sword. And she did real sword, but she was a woman. So she went up against a lot of prejudice, too. And a few times I always went up to her and said, look, Maria, you deserve higher scores than that because you really kicked butt today. And
right.
So cool. I
remember we would go train, and it would be the first hour, it'd be nothing but kata. And, I mean, you better do it right or you'd be doing it over and over. And then the second hour, I don't want to call it sparring because it was fighting. And we sparred.
And that was
before
equipment, right? Or was that during equipment?
The only thing we had at that time was called the punch. And, you know, it was just a knuckle punch. We didn't have foot gear, shin pads, you know, head gear, nothing like that. And, you know, you stick your hand in it and make a fist, and it was flat on the front. And, yeah, that was it. But,
I know people look at you like you're crazy, but I miss those days. It seems like you had more control and more focus, kimi technique than you do today with the swinging and the tapping. Let me ask you that question. How do you feel the fighting has changed drastically? Because you train kickboxers and, you know, everything now, but how drastically has it changed from the day that we talked about 70s, 80s, to what it is today in 2019?
Well, I think, the way for me to sum it up is there was just a lot more substance back then when people, you know, sparred or fought. You know, when you got hit back then, not to say that people don't hit hard now, but, you know, back then it was just, You didn't see people run around the ring raising their hand up in the air in tournaments or nothing like that. You know, I mean, when you got hit, people, you know, acknowledged you hit them, and, you know, everybody knew it was a point. Or,
well, you can feel the point, you can see the point, and you can hear the point.
Right. And, you know, it was just, you know, it just seemed to be a lot cleaner technique back then. And, but, you know, the sport has evolved, and, you know, not to criticize or anything, you know, anything that anyone's doing today, because there's some great, exceptional fighters out here today, too. And, you know, it's just different time and era. And, you know, and I got to be honest, you know, I really enjoy both of them. I like watching the old school stuff, and, you know, I still enjoy training that away at times. And, you know, I like the new stuff, too. You know, they both have something to offer. And, you know, and you got people out here like Willie Hicks and your son, you know, Garrett, and, you know, they're
fighters. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question because he'll hate me if he hears this, but I'm going to just ask you, what do you think about Garrett and how he's improved through the years? As someone outside looking in.
Oh, Garrett's great. And, you know, he come and trained with me for a while, and I loved having him there. You know, he brought just a whole other element to things. And, you know, you raised him well. He's a real gentleman, a real martial artist, and great kata guy, great fighter. And I really enjoyed the time that, you know, we spent together and stuff, and when he was coming out this way in training. And I remember seeing him doing kata for you. I believe you was set up with Sentry over at Academy, and I ran into y'all. And he was doing kata over there and performing. And, you know, and people didn't know nothing about martial arts. He was grabbing their attention then. And, you know, they was just like, wow. You know.
You know how I got that job at Academy?
How's that?
We were down at Corpus Christi, and I was doing a fishing show. And a guy came in with a gun, pointed at the cashier and said, I want the money in the cash in the cash register. And I ducked underneath these cans, and I grabbed one. I saw some aluminum baseball bats that were lined up, and I threw a can to the left, and I hit him in the right to the head and knocked him out. Cops came, and when they were interviewing me, they realized I was a karate guy, and the manager saw that, and he goes, would you guys be interested in doing some self-defense demos? And the rest is history. I ended up putting the Sentry as in all 200 stores. And we did seminars and shows at probably over 100 Academy stores, plus the fishing shows. So I was a busy, busy camper for about 4 years. So that's how we started. They took care of us, though. They gave us like 50 bicycles the first year of the Legends. That's a lot of bicycles to give away.
A lot of bicycles.
You know? Yeah, yeah. But they loved kids back then before it got all change, and that's cool because, you know, I was part of that beginning stage of sponsorship back in the day when people didn't know how to do it, but now they've learned how to do it, and God bless them. So, hey, you know, you're an ambassador for the Sport Karate Museum, for the history, a lot of stuff that we talked about tonight. How important is that, Chris, that we keep the vision of everything that we've done all these years in front of people through the media, through the physical stuff that I've accumulated? How important is that?
I can't even begin to tell you the importance of it, you know, to keep, you know, Real Karate Day alive. It's just, you know, the whole museum thing, when you came out with that, that was just, it was just, at first, I got to be honest, it was really overwhelming. When I came to the museum the first time, I just, there was so much history. It was just, it was amazing. I think it's one of the most impressive things that's ever happened in the martial arts, in my opinion. And the way you've brought people together.
There's drywall. Small drywall.
I don't know what's going on in the background.
I don't either.
Talking. I don't know either. We got poltergeists. Ooh, poltergeists. Ooh. I hate that movie. That was the only movie that wasn't any blood. But I
Spencer,
saw,
I'm on here now.
I don't know
if you can hear me or not.
Well, I can hear you. Finally. Finally got on the air, huh?
I was here, but my mic just went on. So, you know, I was.
Well, kill that background noise. I'm on the line with Chris Yeager.
Yeah,
have you ever met Chris Yeager before?
I don't know where that background noise is coming in at, though. I've had you on mute, so I'm going to put you back on mute.
Hey, you're over-talking me. Be quiet, Wolverine. Have you ever met Chris Yeager before?
I don't think so.
Well, Chris Yeager, meet the Wolverine.
How you doing?
Nice to meet you, bud. Good.
Hey,
good.
Nice, sir.
Wolverine has won a few NASCAR titles this year, and I don't want Lady to get started because he'll sound like he's bragging about himself, but I'll brag it for him a little bit. He's a pretty good competitor. He trained with Joe Lewis, and he's my animal now. I like him a lot, but we have some differences sometimes. And we talked about tonight about loyalty. Now, I want you to stay on the air. Don't go nowhere, Chris. Okay? Don't go nowhere.
Okay? Yeah,
listen.
Yeah.
As I was talking about earlier about someone who stays with someone for a while and for 3, 5 years, whatever, or longer, and decides that they have enough knowledge that now they can teach. Well, God bless them. God bless them. They can teach. God bless them. But to open a school a mile away or even 3 or 4 or 5 miles away is pretty insulting because now the students, it's not fair for them because they have to choose of stay loyal to the original instructor or now go with this new guy who got PO'd and decided to move a block away. So how do you feel about that, Wolverine?
Well, sir, you know how I feel about loyalty. For one, if any student that had to make a decision, so if you know, I'm your student, if I leave you and people follow me, I'm just going to say then they would be an idiot because you're the one teaching me. So for them to leave you also and follow me just shows their ignorance. So the whole problem is people are so ego-driven. That, you know, the thing of it is that what they overlook because they look for their ego and for money, they overlook the stuff of the memories like you and I share, like myself and Master Lewis share, myself and Osensei Earwood share, where we have those memories, those lumps, those bruises. You know, if I get offended because you scream and yell at me, then shame on me. I've not learned one of the first things of martial arts,
Wolverine. I don't care about the fact that I don't do this anymore, and I never really thought about money aspect. I just kept my schools open because I love to teach. But I understand today's economy where you make a living teaching. Now, if that person moves a mile away or 3 miles away or whatever, and he or she charges for their classes, they're taking money out of my pocket, taking money out of my income, of my overhead. I have to come up every month to keep my school open. And it's insulting for that to happen. I don't care if they teach. I don't care if they go down another city or away from what I'm doing. But don't take my students. I don't even offer the choice of my students having to make that decision. Because that's just uncalled for.
Well, you know, that's insulting, but, you know, my whole thing is it's insulting for them to have treated you that way. One thing about it is I'm a loyal soldier. You know, in the day of the samurai.
Dean, I don't care about you. I don't care about you. Honey.
I know. I'm just saying. I'm just using as an example. I'm just saying, you know, when people break loyalty for their own ego or their own benefit, I have no use for them. And I have even less use for people that know that somebody did that, and then they accept those people that were unloyal, disrespectful, backstabbing, whatever you want to call them. I have even less respect for people that accept that person knowing what they done to their original instructor. Because listen, if a student will stab his instructor in the back, for self gain, Do you think that that guy's students are really worth anything to him? No, because he is in it for himself, and that is it.
Okay,
and that person
okay. You're ranting and raving. I like it. My point has got the cross, and your point's got the cross. And I appreciate it. I really do. I appreciate you ranting and raving. That's why I love this segment. If someone's talking in the background,
who's
that talking in the background?
Soundproof office.
We got Poltergeist again. Chris, are you still there?
I'm here.
Chris, how do you feel about the situation we just talked about?
Oh. You know what? I feel the exact same way. I got to be honest. You know, first thing you learn in a martial arts school when you walk in is respect. I mean, that's why you bow. You know, and respect and loyalty to me, you know, they kind of the two most important things.
And
his fire,
whatever that is.
So someone needs to mute what they're doing because they're interrupting the show. So that's okay. People don't know unless you're told.
So, but no,
I apologize,
no,
guys.
I agree with them. You know about the loyalty. That's
I appreciate your opinion, and I appreciate Wolverine what you said tonight, and I appreciate the Poltergeist that's on the line talking.
I know
talking.
How to float it. We need to be something. Matter of fact, I got some tape in my bag.
Okay.
So don't buy any tape.
We don't care about your tape.
Somebody's really got some issues with some tape.
We don't care about your tape. We got plenty of tape. In fact, Mr. Yeager is still taping his pro shop. Thank you, Mr. Yeager. We don't care about no tape. So just go take your tape somewhere else or mute the line, please.
I'll go with you.
This is fun. Anyway, live radio.
Live radio.
Yeah, live radio. But listen, hey, guys, thanks for being on here tonight. Thanks, Wolverine, for being patient and dealing with the technical difficulty, which, like I said earlier, Hachi Bowen always comes through. He's pretty persistent. And Chris Yeager, thank you for all your information tonight. It was a lot of fun talking to you.
Thank you for having me on. I enjoyed it.
I always love talking about the history. And I really expect to see both of you guys this year at the Kata War event because we're doing a tactical flavor. You know, we got some incredible tactical people coming in. And I really, Chris, want you to do a seminar this year for the policemen and the military that will be there. Working on your schedule. It's September the 27th and 28th. We've got the Kevin Funakoshi Traditional Tournament along with the Open Kata Wars Tournament. And now we're done with the Kevin Funakoshi Traditional Tournament. We've invited Kyokin Shin, Shotokan, Shitoru, Chitoru, Echiru, Sebakan, Ishinru, Gojuru, black belts to perform, compete in their own division, take the first places from each division, and have a grand traditional champion. Take that grand champion or go up against the people like Mr. Piles and Mr. Johnson and Mr. Murphy and form a really national kata grand champion. Never been done before. So we're working on that as we speak. Plus, we're having the Professional Maximizer Awards, the banquet, the expo, all the seminars that I talked about. So, Chris, mark it on your calendar, man. I want you to be there.
Okay.
And besides that, the rumor is the History Generals is roasting me. Can you believe that? Stories. Can you believe that? Dean, are you going to roast me? Are you going to do the haka for me?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm going to do the haka. I'm bringing in extra students. Bringing in some Marines also. I was training some of them tonight. But, yeah, we're doing the haka, and I'm definitely going to be roasting you.
Hurrah, hurrah. Hey, well, Chris, this is a funny story. Remember years ago I told you you need to have a good doctor, a good accountant, and a good lawyer. Do you remember that when I told you that years ago?
I remember.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, my lawyer called me the other day, and he goes, hey, I heard that the History General is going to roast you. And I said, well, yeah, I guess so. And they go, is all the beef going to be spilled? And I said, "What do you mean beef? I pay you not to spill the beef. You get paid not to say anything about anything." He says, No. You don't remember. Remember Astro World?" I said, "Yeah, they tore it down." He said, "Now the Beach Boys played, and you got me front row tickets with this babe. But you told me that you're going to get me backstage passes for the party." And I went backstage, and they didn't know my name. And I told you, karma was going to be a bitch. I'm going to be the first guy to roast you. I said, "I can't have my lawyer stand up and roast me. That ain't going to happen." So that's what I'm having to deal with, Chris. You know, I'm going to have some interesting stories. You know, I'm going to try to keep underneath the blanket. So we'll see what happens. It should be a lot of fun, though.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I guess maybe.
Well, I'm gonna have,
it'll be a lot of fun for someone.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to have some hula dancers, but the Hilton won't let me roast the pig in the atrium because it said it might cause a fire hazard or something. So I can't roast a pig. But
I can see the sprinklers going off now.
Yeah, yeah. But we're gonna have below the knee to the little toe beauty contest. That's gonna be pretty cool. And surfing kata. We're gonna get a surfboard in the ballroom, and the kids from 10 and under can get on the surfboard and do kata. And so we'll see what happens, how crazy it can get, you know. So
sounds
you guys
like a lot
take
of fun
care tonight. Well, you guys take care, and thank you for being on the air. And I'll see you guys when I see you, okay? Dean Piles, Wolverine, I'll see you
yes,
next
sir.
Week.
Yes, sir.
All right, cool. Well, everybody, I've been on the line with Mr. Chris Yeager from Self Defense America in Deer Park, Texas. And, of course, we had a segment with the Wolverine about loyalty. We could talk more about that, but I think we got our point across that it's important that you're loyal to your instructor and loyal to your surroundings and be true to the martial arts. You know, I'm excited about in the works as we speak for October the 19th in Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll be roasting one of the true heroes of American martial arts. His name is John Natividad, better known as the Giant Killer. In the 70s, under Mr. Chuck Norris, he put a reign of terror on the open circuit. And John Natividad is out of Las Vegas and working together with Rob Thera and Rob Mazzini and Jason Brooks and Ace Ashcraft. We're actually producing through the Sport Karate Museum the Living Legends number 29 this year in Las Vegas, Nevada, the roasting of John Natividad. So stay tuned for that as we talk more of that. Now, next week, we're having a really fun show with Mr. Alex Hogan. He's the webmaster and the brain behind Mako's Questions and Answers trivia game that we've created on Facebook. Now, this is an engine that literally answers the question in three different levels. It answers it through Mako as if you're a white belt, okay? And that's kind of fun. And then he answers it as if you're an instructor, so you get the knowledge as an instructor to pass on to your students. And then he'll answer it as a hachi, or as a grandmaster, in a philosophical way of letting you understand how deep the martial arts is in general from that question. Now, the engine is really cool because as you ask questions to the Facebook page, at the messenger, and through the page itself, it gets smarter as it calculates the data. So we'll be talking about that adventure with Mr. Alex Hogan February 12th of next Tuesday night. February 19th, I'll be talking with the number one sport karate junior competitor in Texas, Mr. Alex Macilis, and his lovely mother, Eva Marias. And February 26th, one of Mr. Chuck Norris's proteges, Mr. Ed Sines. March the 5th, the Cancer Warrior program we'll be talking about exclusively with Mr. Kenny Reedstock, and one of the oldest competitors still competing today, Mr. Lonnie Walker. On March the 12th, Mr. Darren Wood and Bobby Wood will be talking specifically about the Breakmaster. And hopefully I'll have Mr. Rick Stamford, who's the Guinness Book of World Champion Breakers, and he'll go for a world breaker this year, I believe, at the Living Legends. Now, here are some of the people that will be at the radio show coming up. Again, we thank you for allowing us to come into your home on a Tuesday evening and share with you the memory of sport karate, talking to the incredible legends and the pioneers. You know, every day is an incredible day for me. People go, walk in, see all the incredible trivia and the memories that we've collected for 20 years. And if you want to know more about it, you go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com. And you can go there and you can see some of the work we've done. And follow us on Facebook, of course, too. And if you do like us, the radio network, just click like on Facebook and we'll put you into a drawing where Archie Bowen is going to be giving away a T-shirt and, what I hear, a hardcover book of the Pioneers and Legends book. So we'll see you next week with Mr. Alex Hogan of Parts Unknown at the AMMA Radios Network. Signing off, and as I always say, every weekend, every week, mahalo and aloha.
It shouldn't have anything to do with this, I don't think. Mm-hmm.